I'm Sheila Cast, and this is Midday. New data from the Census Bureau show that college enrollment rates are dropping, and dropping much faster among students from low-income families. Add to that picture that most graduates of Baltimore City public schools who enter college must take remedial courses before they start on college-level work. And a new report from the Fund for Educational Excellence finds that to be successful in college, students also need sharper understanding of independence, time management, and finances. It adds up to a big challenge for students of limited means. In this hour of Midday, we talk to the heads of two Maryland nonprofits that help young people get ready for college and hear from students they've worked with. That's Midday, after the news from NPR. Welcome back to Midday, everyone. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm very glad you're with us today. We're going to talk about a topic that holds enormous promise, but also big challenges, especially for kids from families with low incomes. That is preparing for college and getting into college. It's especially complicated for families who haven't had anyone attend college before, kids who don't have anyone in their family who's blazed that college trail for them. Many in Baltimore City's public high schools, even the ones who graduate, are not entering college fully prepared. So that's another element in this challenge. Last month, the Fund for Educational Excellence produced a report called Building a Bright Future, Understanding College Readiness in Baltimore City Public Schools. The fund did focus groups with hundreds of participants and found that in addition to good academic preparation, students and parents need better counseling, a clearer idea of what the college experience will be like, and training in how to set goals and manage time. So we want to continue a conversation we started in October with two people who are leading innovative efforts to help young people overcome challenges to get into college and to do well when they're there. If you have an idea to share, if you're the first in your family to attend college, if you have some thoughts about how to make that work better for other young people, we'd love you to be part of the conversation. You can send us an email at midday@wypr.org, or you can phone us. If it's long distance, you can phone us at 1-866-661-9309. That's a toll-free number, 866-661-9309. Or locally, you can call us at 410-662-8780, 410-662-8780. With me here in the studio is Cassie Motz. She's executive director for the College Bound Foundation. For more than 26 years, the College Bound Foundation has worked exclusively with low-income and first-generation Baltimore City high school students to help them realize their dreams of a college education. Cassie Motz, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Sheila.
And I literally mean welcome back. This is a bit of a Groundhog Day we're having here in the studio because these two wonderful people were assembled to speak last Tuesday,
yes.
Last Wednesday, and instead we heard President Obama and President Hollande of France talking about terrorism. So they're back today. The second person with me in the studio is Joe Fisher. College preparedness is not a challenge just in Baltimore City. 25 years ago, Joe Fisher, a teacher and a coach, founded First Generation College Bound in Laurel, Maryland. Its mission is to empower young people from low and moderate income families by giving them guidance and tools to get into college and to succeed. Joe Fisher, thanks for being back here.
Really glad to be here.
So there's new data from the U.S. Census Bureau showing that college enrollment dropped by about 3 percentage points between 2008 and 2013, maybe because young people graduating from high school had more chance, as the recession was ending, more chance to find a job and work full time. So maybe that's not bad news. That dropped from 69% to 66% young people entering college. But at the same time, the data show enrollment dropping three times as fast for kids from low-income families, for kids from the bottom 20% of income. College enrollment dropped 10 percentage points. Cassie Motz, is that what you're seeing when you work with young people? Are they having a harder time than they were even a few years ago?
The data does show that in Baltimore City. Back in 2009, almost half of the graduates of Baltimore City Public Schools, 49.8%, attended college in the fall right after they graduated from high school. More recently, 5 years later, the class of 2014, only 42% attended college just after the fall of the fall, just after graduating from high school.
And this is, again, which class, which year?
I was comparing 2009, where almost 50% went straight to college, to 2014.
Just last year.
Just last year, we're at 42%. And this is data from the Baltimore Education Research Consortium, which is a partnership of city schools, Morgan State University, and Johns Hopkins. They do very in-depth analyses of the college-going rates of city school students.
So what's behind that, in your view?
Well, it's hard to say. I think that you're right that the national data suggests that this is a greater problem for low-income students. And as you know, in Baltimore City Public Schools, 85% of our students are eligible for free and reduced lunch. So they qualify very much as low-income students. It's a question of money, having the money to go to college. It's a question of having the advising, having someone help them get through the college application and federal financial aid processes, which are very complicated. And I think it's also a question of academic preparation, making sure that students are ready to go to college. Unfortunately, many of our city school students, when they go to college, they need remediation. 72% need remediation in math classes when they go to college.
Yeah, that's a huge number. I want to talk about that later. But Joe Fisher, what do you see working with you? You work primarily in Prince George's County, First Generation College Band.
We do.
And are you seeing the same thing? Are you seeing in the last few years fewer kids getting it together to even talk about going to college? Is it harder now than it was a couple of years ago?
Well, Kathy, you know, the data that's out and the data that Kathy gave is very important. And I'm always looking at data and always trying to figure out I challenge data to find out what the problem is. And I keep seeing that the ongoing challenge is a human resource factor, because our public schools can't do it all. They are doing as best they can to get the kids prepared. But in terms of kids being able to go to college, especially their senior year, we're seeing that you got kids that can go to college who even are prepared, but they have even a desire, but they miss the process, completing the process of making it happen. And we see that often. For example, Prince George's County Public School System, they test all of the 11th graders. Take the SATs, for example, the Standard Scholastic Aptitude, mm-hmm. the aptitude test. And we found that many of these students who had taken the test had received scores and had the GPA to go to college and did not know it.
They did not know it?
They did not know that they met the qualifications to attend a four-year college. And with low-income kids, they failed. They don't know, and the parents don't understand that financial aid process.
Okay, maybe pointing fingers isn't useful, but this sounds to me like a failure on the part of school counselors if they're not keeping kids informed of where they are on the track. Are counselors assuming this kid isn't interested in college?
No, I think that's not the issue, and that's why you have the College Bound Foundation and First Generation College Bound. We have to do things that counselors just can't do. We are dealing with these kids are. Have some barriers they're dealing with at home and in their community that the counselor's not even aware of. You know, like myself growing up in the housing projects, everybody's not going to want to share their business.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only but so much they are going to give. The kids may share, but the parents may not. And I think that Cassie would agree that some of the challenges for our counselors is that in order for us to successfully help these students, we have to be able to get all the information necessary for them to complete the process.
Okay, let me pick up right at that point and ask each of you to describe, for listeners who don't know anything about either of your organizations, when you talk about your counselors, I'm not sure if it's the same thing for College Bound in Baltimore as for First Generation College Bound in Prince George's. So, Cassie, tell me, what is the counseling function of College Bound, and how does it connect or not connect to the counseling in schools?
Absolutely. So at College Bound, we have 15 full-time College Bound advisors who work in very close partnership at the schools, on-site, full-time with the school counselors. And the relationships are very good. The school counselors are tasked with a variety of things. College advising is just one of the many things they do. They have to do scheduling. They have to deal with social work issues. They have a huge amount on their plate. And so what we do is we provide a full-time college advisor who works exclusively on the financial aid process, on taking kids on bus tours, on having college fairs at the schools. We just completed our college fairs last week. working in conjunction with the school counselors. The school counselors are employees of the school system. The College Bound advisors are employees of our nonprofit, the College Bound Foundation.
But are they embedded in schools?
Absolutely, full-time. They have a full-time college center that has resources, computers that you can apply right online, hard copy books. So they are very much there. Many of them are part of the school leadership team. So the College Bound advisor, while technically getting their paycheck from College Bound and certainly part of our College Bound team working closely with our scholarship team, they are very much part of the school culture and are full-time 5 days a week, 8 hours a day at the school, at the high schools in Baltimore City.
And Joe Fisher, when you talk about our counselors, is it the same thing or is it slightly different?
Well,
for first generation
college
students,
the challenges that she said are the same. They're social workers. They're trying to do everything.
The school counselors.
Yes. And when it comes to the application process that these kids have to complete, when you look at their caseload, number one, I don't know what it is in Baltimore, but I know in Prince George's County, we have, take about a 1 to 300 caseload, sometimes four. That's very hard, and you're dealing with academic issues within the school structure. You're dealing with social issues, all kinds of challenges these counselors have. And when it comes to advising the kids really one-on-one, it's too much. And I can tell you right now, in terms of what we do, we make sure our kids, especially the low-income kids, the first generation, you know what's important to them? The care factor.
The care factor.
The care factor.
Which means?
Oh, my gosh. If they know you care, a trust begins to build. And not just with them, but you got to also develop that care factor, not just with the student, but also the home. And once they know, the kids know you care and the parents know you care, you can make progress. And as much as the teachers care, they can't give that individual attention that we can give in terms of getting these kids to complete the process. And it is not easy. I don't know. All I know is that making sure that kids meet the deadline of early action, for example, of the highly selective schools. For many of our kids, that's a challenge depending on what's going on at home.
Walk me through, without a name, walk me through a family.
Well,
what did you do?
Oh, my goodness. They want to apply early action, but they're going to take the SATs, haven't taken the SATs yet. They want to go to a highly selective college. But their academic profile is not right or is not on par where it should be, or they don't have the score, and they still want to apply anyway. And we say, well, it's not going to work. And so we have to work on this attitude management piece, not just for them to maintain the academic side in school, but also in the College Bound process. And it's very challenging. So many of the kids that we work with, I don't know about Cassie, but for us, they may have only taken the SATs one time, and that's their senior year only.
One thing that's great about Baltimore City Public Schools is that they pay for students to take the SAT their sophomore and their junior year, and also in some schools the PSAT in ninth grade. I'm sorry, not sophomore, junior and senior year. So the students, that is covered by the school system. They have to take it on a Saturday, and they don't all show up, but that is something that the school system does pay for.
So there's not a financial barrier for that particular piece.
Exactly. One thing that College Bound provides on top of that is fee waivers to apply to college. That is extremely expensive. You know, those add up. If you apply to 4, 5, and 6 schools, that costs, $50, $75.
$54 for the SATs and then the...
Right. And so College Bound does provide waivers for college applications.
By waivers, do you mean that College Bound covers the cost?
Yes, fee waivers. Yes,
okay.
College Bound covers the cost. And there are a lot of, there are many little barriers that middle or upper middle income people take for granted that can be real tragic barriers for high achieving, low income students, like having to pay $50 to apply to a college, $50 that a student or family might not have. And that is where programs like ours step in and try to fill the void. I mentioned earlier we take students on bus tours, both within the city, within the state, and then also out of state, overnight, during spring break. And for many students, this is their first exposure to a college campus. And for some students, the first time they've ever left the state or the city. So things like that, other middle-income families might take for granted, we really do try to step in and provide those resources for our students in Baltimore City.
And where do you get the money to do this?
So we fundraise. We get some money from the school system. And, you know, we are very, very grateful to local foundations and corporations and individuals who step in and help.
And Joe Fisher, I'm not sure I got a clear picture of whether your counselors, and you talked about, you know, the kind of deep connection, the deep mm-hmm. relationship, the care
right.
factor that they
mm-hmm.
need to develop. So how many counselors do you have, and are they embedded in schools, or are they free-floating, or what?
Also part-time. They go in because we're still, whereas the College Bound Foundation is well endowed, we have been still working over 26 years in terms of fundraising and foundation help to really build to have full-time counselors in the school, and we need that. They're called coaches. These coaches go in and they provide that ongoing encouragement and support. And the critical thing that these counselors do, they get the students' academic profiles as far as their GPA. They stay on these kids to make sure that they take the SATs on time. And I'm glad that the Baltimore City Public Schools are advising the kids earlier, getting them to take these tests early, because that's something the Prince George's County Public Schools did, which was great. But guess what? They're not doing it this year. So it's cut. So now,
do you have any idea how big a line item that is for a school system?
No, I do not.
Okay.
But when you look at testing all 11th graders and that money's cut, then it really impacts those kids, the low income kids, because as Cassie knows, these kids are eligible for fee waivers as well. So we go in and we make sure some of these kids don't have technology at home, so they have to make sure that they use these fee waivers on time to complete that process. So we have to, a lot of these kids, we have to work very, very hard based on their academic and financial profile that they attend colleges, not just only to be accepted, but also so that they can afford to attend. That's a real challenge because we don't have last minute dollars. So we have to make sure that our students attend colleges that are affordable, where most of our kids attend school in-state. And that's a real challenge. And that's one of the things that our coaches do. While they're going through this process, they're trying to keep them grounded, definitely in schools that they definitely can attend while they go for their REACH schools. But we also, it's important that we keep the basics in place, because many of these kids have hopes and dreams like everybody else. But without the money, it's very difficult for them to achieve that goal.
And I want to talk more about a whole lot of the things that you just mentioned. We're going to take a short break here. That's Joe Fisher, founder and CEO of First Generation College Bound in Prince George's County. Also with us is Cassie Motz, executive director of the College Bound Foundation here in Baltimore. And when we return, we'll be speaking with alumni of each of these programs. We'll let you know who they are when we're back. Were you a first generation college student? Are you a parent who didn't attend college, but one of your children has? We'd love to have you join this conversation. Call us at 410-662-8780 or send us an email at midday@wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cass. We're going to be back in just a bit. Welcome back to Midday. I'm Sheila Cass. Today we're talking about college preparedness, the prospect of going to college for low-income students, especially college students who are the first in their families to go to college. With me in the studio is Cassie Motz, executive director of the College Bound Foundation in Baltimore, and Joe Fisher, founder and CEO of First Generation College Bound in Prince George's County. Tell me, each of you, how do kids tend to come in contact with your help? Joe Fisher.
They get referred to us by the counselors in the school. They identify the students for mm-hmm. us mm-hmm. and who are interested in the program and need the help. And then we meet with them and we talk with them. They decide if they want the help or not. But they really have to want to do it. And we do about 50 students per high school, the ones that we're in.
Okay, and do you ever reach a point where you just can't take anymore? I mean, have you had to turn kids away?
It's interesting you say that. Our caseload is about 30, but we ended up, for example, in one high school having 60 students.
So you just make do. We
just make do because we just, it's hard, and this is it's a big need for what we do. The need for both organizations is huge.
I'm getting that impression. Cassie, how do kids... Well, I mean, I know you're embedded in the school.
Yes.
So is every kid kind of exposed to, hey, there's this thing called College Bound? And
that is the goal. So we have our advisors do classroom presentations for the younger students, the ninth graders and the 10th graders, to give an overview of what College Bound does. And then for the older students, the juniors and the seniors, we have an open door policy. So students are constantly filing into the advisors' offices before school, during school, and after school. We also have a website that has a very large scholarship and grant portfolio, $1.5 million. And that is open to any student in Baltimore City Public Schools, not just those who have a College Bound advisor. And I just want your listeners to know that. CollegeBoundFoundation.org, our scholarship portfolio actually went live today. And so for the first time today, now through March 1st, all students in Baltimore City Public Schools are eligible to apply for our $1.5 million grant and scholarship portfolio.
And we will link to that from our website at WIPR.org. I'd like to pull into this conversation an alumnus from each of your programs. They're joining us by phone. Brandon Scott is a city councilman. He represents Baltimore's 2nd District. And he is an alumnus of your foundation, College Bound Foundation. Thanks for joining us, Councilman Scott.
Thanks for having me, ma'am.
So tell me a bit about, I've interviewed you on many topics. I did not know this piece of your background. Give me the thumbnail of your academic history. Where did you go to high school? How did you come in contact with College Bound? Where did that lead you?
I went to high school at Merville in Baltimore, the best high school in Baltimore. I actually was forced into College Bound as a ninth grader by my track coach, and that changed my life. Without College Bound, I wouldn't be on air talking with you right now. This organization literally saved my life. I was at a school where, you know, I was focused on track and focused on my trade and not even really focus on college, but then through College Bound was able to do that through the experience of going on the trips, visiting schools, taking the SAT early. I actually, Sheila, didn't take the SAT after 10th grade. After 10th grade, I was just focusing on which school I wanted to go to, what kind of program I wanted to do, and that was all because of College Bound. It's not just for me what College Bound did for me, but what it did for my friends, what it did for my brother, and so many other families across the city. That investment that they make in getting us to school and through school, as our motto will say, and then all these people coming back to Baltimore as lawyers, as police officers, as teachers, as chefs, and the list goes on and on.
You sound pretty excited about it. Before we move on, though, I want to get that picture. You say you were forced into a connection with College Bound. What was that conversation? What happened?
You know anything about being an athlete, when your coach says you do something, you do it.
Okay.
So our coach, Coach Hendricks at Mervo, had formed a partnership with Dr. Biley, our college bound counselor, and after practice, one day he says, every day after practice, this is what you guys are going to do. And that's what we did. And we started in ninth grade working on how to take the SAT, learning how to take the test, thinking about college, you know, all of those kind of stuff, studying words after words after words about, you know, the things that are going to be on the test at that point. Ninth and tenth grade was all about SAT for us. And then after that, we were able to focus on visiting schools, what kind of program you're looking for, what your major is going to be. So it was something for me. Look, it made me get home at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, but ultimately it was the best thing that happened to me during my high school years.
So he didn't single your coach didn't single you out. He was pushing
all
his athletes.
No, all of us do it. We did it as a team. We did everything as a team.
Let's pull somebody else into this conversation. Nyjah Lawrence is a junior at Towson University, and Nyjah, I appreciate you joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And am I pronouncing your first name correctly?
Yeah.
Pronounce it for me.
Nyjah,
great. Okay. What are you studying at Towson?
Psychology.
And how did you, tell us about how you got connected to First Generation College Bound and what that was like. Where were you going to high school and how did you make that connection?
I went to high school in Fairmont Heights High School in Capitol Heights, and I was in a JROTC program. So my colonel at the time, he talked to Mr. Fisher because I was struggling trying to figure out how I was going to pay for school. So one day Mr. Fisher pulled me out of class and talked to me about, like, the things that he really wanted to see happen in my life and the process that that I would have to go through to make sure I was able to go to school. So he made sure that I stayed on track with, like, deadlines for applying to school, different scholarships and grants so that I didn't have to take out any loan. But before that, there was a, informational for all those who qualify for the program where we sat and we were given a presentation about the program, but I didn't really pay attention to it. But it was that extra push that Colonel gave me to actually link up with Mr. Fisher.
So you were a sophomore when these conversations started?
No, I was actually a senior.
You were a senior?
Yes.
Wow. And you already had in mind that you wanted to go to college?
Yes. There was no question about it.
Had anybody else in your family gone to college?
I had a few cousins who went, but my parents did not.
So how did you, do you remember when you, how you started thinking about going to college yourself? Was that a hard idea to come to?
I think it was just like assumed because even though my, my legal guardian, my aunt who takes care of me, she started school, but she wasn't able to finish it. She wanted the best for us, so she made sure that she pushed us in school so that we were prepared for college. So it was just an implied thing that we knew that we had to, like, that was something that we had to do.
So, Joe Fisher, when you meet a bright student like Anasia Lawrence, and she's a senior, you're shaking your head. Is that what you did when you met Naja?
As I said at the beginning of the show, you would be surprised at the number of students who meet the criteria to attend college. And matter of fact, I barely got here today because I sit down with a student at a high school, had the SATs, had the criteria, did not know she could go to college. And it happens often. And that goes back to the data that's out, that last-minute push that Naja got. She may not have gone if she didn't get enough money, for example.
Uh-huh.
And I think about what the councilman said. He's been going since ninth grade. And he had that ongoing push, but his coach really got on to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have that, whether it's ninth grade on, or your senior year, if somebody doesn't catch it, you definitely fall through the cracks.
We've got some other callers, and I'm going to ask them to hold on because there's a couple follow-ups I want to ask. Councilman Scott, you mentioned your brother, that your brother was also a beneficiary of College Bound.
Yes, my brother went to City. He actually graduated from high school in 2005, and he graduated from University of Virginia thereafter with a degree in computer science.
You went to St. Mary's in Southern Maryland, correct?
Yes, ma'am, St. Mary's College of Maryland, who actually I'm hosting a reception at City Hall today for kids from the city who want to attend the great St. Mary's College of Maryland.
Oh, that's great. How did you choose that college? Did you have choices, or did you focus like a laser on?
I had lots of choices, but this was a conversation that we had with the College Bound folks. St. Mary's was the best academic institution that offered me the best financial aid package. And my family talking about, what Cassie and them were talking about earlier, that trust that we had in College Bound and wanting the best for me, you know, and knowing the best for me, because I didn't visit St. Mary's before I went there. You know, my mind was on a totally different track at first. It was totally focused on athletics, but that changed. And then we chose St. Mary's because of its history of academic rigor, but also because of the package, financial aid package that they offered me. And I think that's a very important key in when we talk about organizations like this, because too many of our young people don't finish school because people, adults around them, don't do what we do at College Bound and other organizations and tell them, listen, yes, you can go to that school, but you can get the same thing and maybe even better environment for you at this school. It might necessarily not be the school with the big name or the big flash that everyone knows, but for you and your family, because what this means for a lot of these young people, when they go, you're the first kid from Park Heights in your family to go to college and come back. That is not just life-changing for you. That's life-changing for your family. So when we're working with these children, we have to make sure we do that the right way.
Nyjah, how did you decide on Towson University?
Originally, Towson was my second choice, and Salisbury was my first, but I didn't get into Salisbury until they accepted me for the spring semester. So I came to Towson because not only was, like, I came on campus and I fell in love with the campus, but also they offered me full tuition, everything covered. So I wouldn't have to take out any loans or anything. So everything will be covered. So I was like, I should just take the opportunity. And I haven't regretted it since.
And I'm curious as to, there's been a couple of references, and Councilman Scott just referenced the trust that his whole family had in the college-bound process that he was putting so much time into as a high school person. Can you give us any sense of what your family's involvement was as you got involved with First Generation College-Bound?
Yes, my mom, since she didn't really go through it, Mr. Fisher basically did most of the work, but she supported me through everything. I have a cousin that I live with. He just graduated, and Mr. Fisher actually helped him out also. He went to a private college in Pennsylvania. It's called Lycoming College. And originally, he would have had to pay around, like, $40,000. But Mr. Fisher helped him bring it down to where he only had to take out a loan of around, like, $5,000. So if he didn't have that, he probably wouldn't have been able to afford it. And I know, like, with his background track, he wouldn't, like, a big school like Towson wouldn't be for him. He needs, like small classrooms where they provide him all the attention. He can get close with his professors and everything. Like, that's the type of environment he needs. And by going to Lycoming and with the help of First Generation College Bound, he was able to go to a school that is actually helping him flourish.
I'm listening to your stories, and I'm thinking, and let me ask each of you quickly, because we're going to have to take another break, but I'd like to get the thoughts of both of you. When I hear about the tight relationships and the kind of time that presumably your counselors lavish on each student, I mean, is it feasible that this could be scaled up, that your work could be scaled up to more students? How could that actually be? Because essentially you're talking about wraparound advising of these kids, getting them on the track to be in a position either to get scholarships or at least to organize their finances that they could look at college.
Well, speaking for the College Bound Foundation in Baltimore City, we absolutely think it would be feasible to scale up. You actually mentioned the recent report at the top of the hour from the Fund for Educational Excellence. One of their recent recommendations in their report that came out about 2 weeks ago is that there be a college-bound advisor or a college-bound specialist in every high school. Right now, we're in less than half of the city public high schools in Baltimore City. We would like to be in all of them, and the Fund for Educational Excellence actually recommended that we have two advisors in the larger high schools because of the large caseloads that have been discussed earlier. So we think from an advising perspective that our advisors do make an enormous difference. I mean, I visit all of our advisors every semester, and the stories that I hear from them and the relationships that I get to watch as I sit there, I'm not as on the ground as my colleague Mr. Fisher here is, but our advisors just do amazing work. And they keep up with their students afterwards. They text them over the summer to make sure. They send them text messages to make sure that they're actually going to show up in the fall, even though they've been enrolled and they've made a housing deposit. Unfortunately, too many students are a victim of what we call summer melt, and they don't show up. Our advisors are sending text messages and really urging kids to not just go to college, but stay through college and graduate. So I do think it could be scaled up, and I will let Mr. Fisher speak for himself in Prince George's County, but certainly in Baltimore City.
Joe Fisher, I've known you for a long time, and I have often thought it would be great if we could clone Joe Fisher because of I've watched the kind of connections you make. But we can't clone Joe Fisher, and you've done it with a lot of counselors. But the kind of attention that you give to the kids in your program, should that really be our goal, that every student who shows a flicker of interest in college would get that kind of attention?
Well, I think it needs to be understood that any student who graduates from high school, who desires to attend college, should have that opportunity. Even like me, I wasn't prepared to go to college. I had to go through a summer program. Why shouldn't that student have that same opportunity, even if they have to attend the community college and take the courses needed? Now, you got to remember, my mother got her GED at age 52. Think about that. What if she had her next step was the community college? So you got kids who they think 4 years because there's that stigma with the community college. And it still exists today. Everybody's talking about the kids not prepared. Well, the community there, college, is there to help you to be prepared, to strengthen you so that you can keep moving forward. So I think that many of the kids are concerned, I think that they just need that ongoing support and to make this thing happen.
As I said, we're going to take a break here. We're going to continue when we're back with Cassie Motz, Executive Director of the College Bound Foundation, and Joe Fisher, Founder and CEO of First Generation College Bound. If Councilman Brandon Scott can stay with us, that would be great. Naisha, pardon me?
Will.
Oh, terrific. And Naisha Lawrence of Towson, you're also welcome to stay. We've got some other callers queued up. We're going to talk to all of that when we get back, and there's still time for you to join the conversation. You can send us an email at midday@wypr.org or call us at 410-662-8780. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Welcome back to Midday, everyone. I'm Sheila Cast. We are having a very vibrant conversation about getting ready for college, what's involved, especially for low-income kids who may not have anybody in their family who's blazed that college trail before. With me in the studio is Cassie Motz, Executive Director of the College Bound Foundation in Baltimore, and Joe Fisher, Founder and CEO of First Generation College Bound in Prince George's County. On the line with us is Brandon Scott, City Councilman in Baltimore and an alumnus of the College Bound program, and Naisha Lawrence, a junior at Towson University, who is an alumna of First Generation College Bound. And we got quite a few callers. You could be one of them. You could call us at 410-662-8780, or you could send us an email at midday@wypr.org. Brenda sent us an email. That's where I'd like to start here. She says, "My sisters and I were first-generation college students in part because of the support from Western High School in Baltimore. My mother, who earned her GED after my eldest sister was already in college," sounds a bit like your mom, Joe Fisher, "did her best to prepare us, but there were a lot of things we didn't know about the process." And Brenda asks, "Does a mentoring program exist where empty nesters like myself, who have been through the college process with our own children, can help some of these deserving students one-on-one?"
I can speak to that.
Okay,
since
Cassie.
Western is in Baltimore City, as you may know, it's our famous all-girls high school where our mayor went. We actually have two college-bound advisors, two very good advisors at Western High School, who work very closely with the students and the principal there. And if Ms. Brenda would be interested in connecting with them directly, I'm sure they could use the help of her and her sisters in working with some of the students at Western.
Well, I have her email address in front of me, so
great.
I will share that with you before we leave. Joe, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, and I just want to make it clear. What grade was it? Was her child in? What grade was the student in?
Well, Brenda, who wrote us, she went to college,
mm-hmm.
And she's talking about what she can do as an empty nester. I don't think there's a particular child who's now in high school who's the focus of her attention. I think she just wants to help.
Oh, she wants to help. Okay. Well, what we do, I think our largest volunteer component right now, we have close to 700 students that we're tracking in college. So we have volunteers. People volunteer. They're part of the college retention program. And so they help to send out care packages, to help be involved with the kids and help us out with the social programs we have between the alumni and the students currently in college in the mid part of the year.
You just reminded me. That's one of the things I wanted to ask Naisha. Naisha, you're still with us, right?
Yes.
So tell me what it's like to be, now that you are in college and have been for several years, what is your connection with First Generation College Bound? Do you hear from them? Do you reach out to them? What is there some kind of a ongoing connection now that you're in college?
Yes. I speak to Mr. Fisher at least like once a semester. Every now and then he will call just to say hi and that I was like on his mind. And then we'll talk about how everything's been going and stuff. And I get like invitations to different events with First Generation College Bound.
Okay. Let's get some of these callers in here who have called us. Linda in Baltimore, I appreciate your calling. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. And your thoughts about this?
Oh, I personally think this is amazing. I just literally had to stop my car and I said, I have to call. I think that what Mr. Fisher is doing, it's an extraordinary. I think in my case, I come from a Latino background. I am the first one of my family out of four siblings to graduate. I'm still in school. I'm obtaining a master's degree in public administration. And I have two children, and nothing gets impossible, but you need that guidance. And I really didn't. I only had my sister who started college, but she never finished. But she was the one who kind of guided me through. And in a city like Baltimore, we need people that can guide these children, you know, because obviously, if they don't have any guidance, if their parents don't have a college degree, they don't even know how to go about, you know, financial aid or any of these things, it would be very challenging for them.
So reading between the lines, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, Linda, but it sounds like you made it through. But it would have been easier if you had had a connection with a better connection with somebody who had been through college and could warn you about how to get ready and how to do it.
Definitely. I didn't have that. And the counselors that I had, I grew up in upstate New York, and they would just ask, okay, so what's next? Are you going to college? And you would say yes or no. And that was about it. Nothing like what I'm hearing, you know, no that one-on-one connection, none of that. So, you know, thank God my sister, you know, kind of sort of told me, okay, this is what you need to do. And that's how I started, you know, my college life. But you definitely need guidance.
I appreciate your calling, Linda. Cassie, is there something you wanted to say?
No, I'm...
You're looking very worried. That's
no,
why.
No.
You're feeling good about what you do for a living. Let's hear from Jennifer in Baltimore. Jennifer, welcome to Midday.
Hi. How are you doing? I'm actually a graduate of College Bound. In 1994, I graduated from Patterson High School. And I was lucky enough to be pulled out of class one day by a college-bound advisor, and she asked me if I was going to go to college, and I said I hadn't thought about it. And she encouraged me because I was at the top 10% of my class, and it was just, I came from a family who hadn't gone to college, so it didn't dawn on me. It seemed overwhelming, and I guess, honestly, at the time, it felt unnecessary because I felt that my family had done, you know, pretty okay without having gone to college. But with College Bound's help, I did go to school, and I'm back in school for my second bachelor's. And I feel like they changed my life, and I have a warm, fuzzy spot for them.
What was your first bachelor's focused on, and what are you studying now?
My first bachelor's was in computer science with a minor in history, because my dad believed that computers were going to take over the world, and I guess he was right.
So I was going to say, that seems like a pretty good preparation, and you're studying what now?
Yeah, it was wonderful. I mean, you know, I was pulled out of class in my senior year in the winter, and, you know, it was amazing that she saw that potential in me, because it just did not dawn on me. It really didn't. Not many of my friends were going to college, and she just encouraged me, and I picked my college based on location. I just thought it was a pretty location. So that's how far away from the idea of college I was. And they paid for me to my applications. That's a big deal. It is really a big deal for people coming from low-income families. A $25 application, if I wanted to send four colleges, that was $100 for my parents, and that was tough. And that was a lot that was on my mind, too, that if I wanted to start this big process, how was I going to do that? What kind of burden was I going to place on my family?
So, Jennifer, I really appreciate your calling us. Joe Fisher, what do you tell young people when you get that kind of a concern about fees?
Well, we have the application fee waiver. We make sure that they have taken advantage of all the resources that are available to them. The college application fee waivers, as we said, the SAT fee waivers. As a matter of fact, sometimes we contact the colleges and we tell them the situation and they waive the fees. We are an advocate for these kids. And by being in the program, we can help them. With no advocate, these kids lose out on what is available to them. And as she just said, we had somebody pull her out of the classroom. That's going back. I'm thinking about her senior year again, to help her to go to college. Again, she's one of the many students like out there like that that still need first-generation College Bound and College Bound Foundation.
Rose in Cockeysville, thanks for calling Midday. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I just wanted to stress how important it is for schools to actually be involved in helping kids get to college. I'm originally from Long Island, and the neighborhood that I grew up in had pretty bad school district. And so I was lucky enough to have my parents send me to private school. And I saw a stark difference in how I wanted to go to college and my goals after high school than my friends who were in public school. A lot of them still aren't even in college or couldn't get past first year or so of community college. And since my private school was a college prep school, I think that was really instilled in me from middle school. And without that, I don't think I would have graduated Towson, also a Towson alumni, and now be in law school.
Rose, I appreciate your calling us. We have time for just a quick last comment from Joe and Cassie here in the studio, either to respond to Rose or make some other point you think we need to make.
Well, if your school has a mission of being a college prep school, that's what they're expected to do. And that's their focus. Not only that, I'm sure at the private schools, most of them, the ratio is a lot smaller compared to your public schools. And that's why these public schools really need to help. 35-year retired educator, and I can tell you, I remember being very overwhelmed. Have to go beyond the call of duty to make sure the kids stay on track. The counselors, I mean, I'm teaching 100 students a day, I'm sorry, and the counselors got 400. That's tough. And even with first-generation College Bound, our caseload, we have to not only work with the students inside the school, we also have to go to the homes due to the challenges to make things work.
Cassie, last word to you.
I would just comment to what Rose said, that a lot depends on what you're used to and what your family's experience has been. And if your parents have been to college, I think that often the expectation is that you go to college. And if your parents haven't, then it's not. And so, you know, I agree with what she said. And I think that's why we need programs like we have.
And I want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank Councilman Brandon Scott for joining us on the phone, and thank him for the event he's having for St. Mary's College later today. I want to thank Nyjah Lawrence of Towson University and, of course, Joe Fisher, founder and CEO of First Generation College Bound in Prince George's County, and Cassie Motz, executive director of the College Bound Foundation in Baltimore. We will link to their programs on our website. We thank you, our listeners, for being such a vibrant part of this conversation. I'm Sheila Cast. Join us for Midday tomorrow. Our focus will be on teaching teachers how to teach reading. And right now, stay tuned for an NPR special on climate change. See you tomorrow.
Midday is produced by Maureen Harvey and Connor Graham. Midday's intern is Adam Dronberg. The show is engineered by Luke Spicknall. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming are available at WYPR.org or on demand using the WYPR app. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.
This is your public radio, WYPR, where you've been listening to Midday. Up next, special coverage from NPR, an hour-long look at global climate change and at efforts to combat it. That's coming our way in a moment here on Your Public Radio. Then stay tuned this afternoon at 2 for Here and Now.
I'm Indira Lakshmanan. The lawyer who persuaded the Supreme Court to strike down the Defense of Marriage Act says even she was surprised at the court's speed in eventually legalizing gay